Let's pray. Father. You are so awesome.
Yes, you are.
Lord, I'm just amazed at your heart. Lord, when people offend us, when people hurt us, we would want them cut off. We would want them punished. Lord, you just cry. You just grieve. You grieve. You grieve. You know what I want to share, and I don't know if I can go there right now, but seeing you crying and grieving and calling us to weep for someone as though it were our only son, Lord, that's just impossible. We do not have a heart like that. We don't even have a heart like that for our only son sometimes, much less for someone else. But you do. Lord, I am so taken with your heart. I am so taken with your spirit. And yet, as good and loving and merciful as you are righteous and holy, and do not allow sin to go unanswered for, unpunished. So you send us, Lord. You send us to love. You send us to warn. And beg us to repent. Lord, I think that's our word today. Repent. Repent. We just need to repent. Lord, would you grant us repentance? Your word says your goodness leads to repentance, and we need deep repentance. Would you grant that this morning? In the name of Jesus. I've been up since 5:30. I've nearly read the whole Bible. No, I'm just kidding. But I read so much, and I went so many directions, and I already had what I wanted to say. And then I kept being taken to other places to read. And it was like, well, Lord, now you got me in Jonah. And you had me in Jeremiah. And he said, well, part of Jeremiah was for you. And part of Jonah was for them. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I don't have one. See there? There's my notes from all that reading. Not one word is written on that paper. Well, I'm just going to talk about Jeremiah and Jonah for a minute. And then we're going to go read something in Jonah. In Jeremiah, God had told him to warn the people. It was God's people. And he was saying to them that they were about to face some destruction, and they were going to go into captivity, and they were going to go into some really hard times as a result of their not cooperating with God, not repenting, not turning to God. And God said in Jeremiah, even if they fast and call on me, I'm not going to hear them. And I thought, wow. Even if they fast and they call on him, he's not going to hear them? Why? You know, because that's not what he said in Jonah. To Jonah, he said, in 40 days I'm going to destroy Nineveh. Go there and tell Nineveh. Warn them to repent. Nineveh was not God's people. They were heathen. I've heard this, I have not researched it, but I've heard the reason that Jonah did not want to go is because Nineveh had murdered some of his family and friends.
Yep.
So he hated them. He wanted God to punish them. So when he heard that God was going to destroy them, he said, yeah, they got it coming, you know, I want them destroyed. Have you ever wanted someone destroyed that hurt you and your family? I mean, that's what you wanted. When that young boy attempted to molest my daughters and he beat them, and we took him through trial, and then 18 years old, they just let him grow on probation, and he shows up out in our yard. If I'd had a gun, I would have shot him. And I said, God, you need to kill that boy. He's going to hurt more people, you know. He just needs to die. That was my prayer until God got a hold of my heart to forgive him. Well, why are we talking about this in inner healing? Because without you forgiving people, there is no inner healing. You don't get healed until you forgive your offender and even repent of those thoughts that you had toward your offender. So here's this prophet of God. I'll let it shut down. Here's this prophet of God, this man of God. He knew how to love. He knew how to have tender mercy, but not for Nineveh. not for Nineveh. So he's the exact one God picked on and said, you go there and preach to them. And he didn't want to do it. So he ran from the Lord and ended up in the belly of the whale for a few days. I mean, there's some stubbornness. Can you imagine being in the belly of a whale 3 days and still sitting there going, I'm not going to go. Well, you know, I guess you can die in the belly of this whale. Okay, I'll sit here and die. He could have repented the first night in the belly. He waited till the third night. He was not going to repent. Finally, he repents of not going, but he did not repent of the anger. He didn't repent of his bitterness. So the whale spits him out, and he goes to Nineveh, and he preaches, and I guarantee you it wasn't in love. He went in there, and it was like, you're all going to die. God's going to kill you. 40 days, wipe out the whole city, everything, everybody. And the king took off his robes, and he threw himself down in the ashes, and he told everyone to fast and repent, that maybe God wouldn't do that. And God didn't do it. He showed him mercy. So go to Jonah chapter 4 and see how Jonah took that response. Well, let me tell you the difference first. Why did God change his mind when they fasted and prayed in Nineveh? But he did not. He said, I will not change my mind when his people in the book of Jeremiah would. He said, if they fast, I will not change my mind. I won't hear them. Because Jeremiah was speaking to God's people. God's people who knew God, whom he had dealt with repeatedly, and they would not cooperate. They would not cooperate with God. So it wasn't because he didn't love them or have mercy. It was because he knew their pattern. Yeah, they're going to fast, and they're going to say, I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry, God. And then they're going to go do it again. And then I'm going to threaten them, and they're going to fast, and they're going to say, oh, please don't do it, God. I repent. And then they're going to go do it again. They were his people. And he had come to a place of saying, this just isn't working for you. You're not changing. So I'm going to have to let you go in captivity. I'm going to have to let some things happen in your life for your good to break you and change you. It was still for them. But Nineveh, they weren't even God's people. If they had sinned unto death, and he was bringing the judgment of their death. But if they died, they'd have gone straight to hell. They were not God's people. He did not want them to go to hell. So he was satisfied if they would repent of the evil they had done, so he could extend their life, and perhaps one day they would come to become his people. So it was a chance to spare them. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly. And he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that you are a gracious God, and merciful, and slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repent, you would repent thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. Then said the Lord, do you do well to be angry? Are you that angry because I was nice and kind and didn't kill the people? Jonah said, well, if you're not going to kill them, then just kill me. I'm so mad about it, I don't even want to live if they get to live. That's pretty bitter. So Jonah went out of the city, and he sat on the east side of the city, and he made himself a booth, and he sat under it in the shadow until he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord prepared a gourd. I'm not quite sure. You know, what's a gourd? Is that like a big mushroom or something? It just says a gourd.
It's a dried out squash.
Dried out squash?
It's a plant.
A plant?
Perhaps a gourd, a castor oil plant.
Well, he made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow over his head, to deliver him from his grief. So Jonah was exceedingly glad about the gourd. But God prepared a worm when the morning rose the next day, and it smote the gourd that it withered. And it came to pass when the sun did rise, God prepared a vehement east wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah, that he fainted, and he wished himself to die. Oh, this guy's just got a depression, suicide spirit on him, you know? Every time life's not good, he wants to die. So he said, it's better for me to die than to live. And God said to Jonah, "Do you well to be angry for the gourd?" And he said, "I do well to be angry, even unto death." Then God said, the Lord, "Thou hast had pity on the gourd." He had pity on the gourd. First time I read this story, I thought Jonah was mad because the gourd that was covering him and protecting him was gone, so he was putting up with the heat. But he had pity on the gourd? What does that mean? He had pity on the gourd. He felt sorry for the gourd. He felt sorry for that plant. He loved it. And we might take that a little weird, but Jesus talks to fig trees, and he says that trees clap their hands. He says the rocks might cry out. You know, everything he's created contains God.
Yeah.
It's a part of God. It's alive. Somehow, Jonah had this loving connection with nature. So much that he loved the gourd. He loved that plant. He went, "Wow, this plant grew up and it covered me. Thank you." And he loved the plant. And when the plant died, he wasn't just mad because he didn't have a shadow, a shelter. He felt sorry for the gourd. He had pity on it. He didn't want the gourd to have to die. He liked it. So he had pity on the gourd. The Lord said, "You had pity on the gourd for which you have not labored, neither did you make it grow, which came up in it, and one night it came up and it perished in one night." You only knew that gourd for one night, but you had pity for it. "And should I not spare Nineveh, that great city wherein are more than 60,000 persons?" 60,000 people.
Okay, 120,000.
The right hand from their left.
Right.
So he said 120,000 people that can't even tell their right hand from their left. Also much cattle. He said 120,000 unsaved people. They don't even know what they're doing. They have no discernment. Yes, they went out and did evil, but they didn't even have a concept of God yet. They didn't even know Him and understand Him. And cattle. God loved the cattle too. He said, "Jonah, look at your heart. You're grieving for a plant, but willing to kill 120,000 people and all the cattle. What's wrong with your heart?" You know, this is why He sent Jonah there, to expose his heart. Jonah said, "I know God." He said, "I know you are gracious, you're merciful, you're slow to anger, you have such great kindness. I know that's your heart, God." But that wasn't Jonah's heart. So God had to send him somewhere to expose to him his own heart, how he did not have the heart of God. So he was a prophet. He could bring the word of God and truth. He heard the word of God. He could preach it out there, you know. But he didn't have the heart of God for people. And he didn't want to forgive his enemies. So there's things that have happened in our life that we're bitter about, you know, we're angry about, and we just have a hard time forgiving people. But without the forgiveness, there can be no healing. Without the forgiveness, there can be no repentance. Because the first step is to forgive by choice. But then we have to look at how we've responded so that we can beg God to grant us repentance of our own actions. And without that, it's like we've got this little hurting pain down inside of us. But here's unforgiveness, and here's the repentance. And without going through those layers, God cannot touch the pain. He can't get to it. So we just need to ask Him, what's our attitude? You know, what's our attitude toward people, toward others, when we see what they're doing that's wrong? And I was sharing with Roxanne this morning. I think I've shared it before. Yeah. When we were in church on the other side of the state, Harvey and I were, I think we were youth pastors at the time.
Oh, good story.
When that girl got into a lot of sin and then she was running for homecoming queen. So we had teenagers in the school, and one of our daughters who behaved herself, Jamie, she was doing really good, and she wanted to run for homecoming queen. But there was a popular girl who was really pretty and popular, and she was running for homecoming queen, and everybody was going to vote for her. She had all the votes and all the friends. And it came to my knowledge that this girl had been to an orgy, drinking, sex, just, you know, this big, wild, bad party, and hidden it. But all the kids in the school knew about it, just the teachers and the principal didn't know. So I went to our pastor, who was also the principal, and I walked in his office, and I had a bad Jonah attitude. And I said, I need to tell you some things about this girl, what she's been doing in the last week, and I can't believe that you're allowing her name to be on the ticket for homecoming queen in a Christian school. What kind of representation is that of our church and of our school? And he said, what are you talking about? And I told him the things this girl had been doing. And when I did, he just slipped right off his chair and fell on the floor and started weeping. And I just stood there in my sin and looking stupid, you know. And I was like, oh my gosh, look how he loves her. He is so brokenhearted about her sin. And I was condemning about it, you know. And that made me feel a lot of shame. And you know, the man was so tender, he never said a word to me about rebuking me for my attitude. He didn't attack me either. I bet he was praying for me down on the floor and weeping for me too. And I was so not headed, I didn't even realize that part, you know. I just kind of backed out of the office, and we'll talk about this later, you know. I wanted her kicked out of school. I mean, I was so legalistic. This was the most embarrassing moment prior to that same girl. I'd heard she'd been riding around in a car smoking some marijuana and having a couple drinks, and that she'd been doing that. And I had called her and asked her, I said, I want to know who was with you. And she says, I'm not telling. And I said, yeah, you're going to tell. We're going to go and see the pastor about it. So I took her, he called in her parents, and we got everybody in there bearing witness, you know. And we say, now you're going to tell us who were the other students out of this school that were in that car doing it. She says, Jim and Jackie. That's my kids. So I approached the pastor at that time and said, all three of them need to be kicked out of school. That's the rule. If they, you know, that lifestyle, they get suspended. And he said, what about mercy? You know, and he just wanted to show mercy. And I drew my own two out of school. I took them out. I mean, he started saying, you're a teacher here, and let's work through it. And I said, no, that's not consistent. I took my own out and sent them to a different school for the rest of that year, because I wanted to do what was right, you know? No mercy, do what's right. And there's something to consistency if they're not repentant. So I'm not saying that he should have just overlooked all of her sin, but the broken heart over sin instead of the anger and the judgment. That's what God wants in us. And there is judgment. If Nineveh had not repented, he would have wiped the city out, because he had no choice. No choice. The righteousness of God will punish sin. Praise God, our sin is on Jesus. But remember the two levels. The sin against other people will bring sickness and death and misery in our life right now. And that breaks his heart too. So we really need to deal with the word repent today. We need to repent of bitterness, of anger, of unforgiveness. We need to bring those people before the Lord. And I know we've done the court thing a lot here. But let's just ask him, because I don't know. I don't know why he's bringing that today, because we've been doing court for months. But let's just ask him, what's in my heart, God? What do I need to, who do I need to forgive? What do I need to repent of? What?
In 2 Timothy 2, 24 and 25, it talks about how repentance comes as we acknowledge truth.
As we acknowledge truth.
And God gives us a gift of repentance.
Right.
But it only comes to the extent, because it comes in layers, as we acknowledge truth. Not say yes, but so-and-so,
right,
and blame shift and justify and
right,
excuse. But when we admit truth, then God grants us repentance. That's how repentance comes.
Amen. When we acknowledge the truth. Sometimes we just don't know the truth. Sometimes our right hand doesn't know what our left hand is doing, because we're so busy with accusing that we don't accuse ourselves. You know, you don't look at yourself. You're too busy blaming the other guy. So let's just deal with that in prayer this morning. And forgive and repent, and then just lay yourself open for God to bring some healing. Thank you, Jesus.
You know what we were just listening to? Oh, consuming fire.
Did you read Connie's email on silver? I noticed you were copying on it. Some woman was reading about God sitting as a refiner over silver, and she wondered if they literally sit when they refine silver. So she went and found a silversmith and asked him, "Do you literally sit down to refine silver?" And he said, "Well, yeah, you have to, because you have to put it into the deepest, hottest part of the fire, and you have to sit there and watch it. Because if you leave it in too long, the fire destroys it." She said, "Well, how do you know when it's done?" He said, "When I can see my reflection in it, it's done." So God is a consuming fire. And when he puts us into the fire, it's to refine us. It's to burn away the dross. It's to get rid of everything that's not God. But if we're rebellious, and this is part of what I'm going to share later tonight, when and if we rebel and we're stubborn and we will not cooperate with the fire, then it stays in the fire longer, and you become reprobate silver, useless silver. Just not anymore can God find himself in you. And it becomes destroyed by the fire of God. So we want to be silver that he can find his reflection in, and we don't want to resist the fire of God, burning away all the impurities. Yeah, I think that'd be a good song. Let's go with that.
Oh, consuming fire. Fire, you're our heart's desire. You said if we would return to you, you said if we would turn from our wicked ways, you said if we would humble ourselves and pray. You said if we would come with weeping, you said if we would come and rend our hearts, you said if we would come and let you hear our voice, let you see our face, that you would come.
And I confess.
wanna look right at you. I wanna sing right to you. for you to dwell here in the reservoir of me. That you would dwell in my heart, that I would be in you and you would be in me. That I could fellowship with God here where it's you and me alone. Inside of me, I want to fellowship with you. Here it's you and me alone, God. You and me alone. Here it's you and me. Your garden, I don't. lives my life living on the outside. I'm gonna leave from the inside out. I don't wanna waste my time living on the outside. I'm gonna leave from the inside out.
Okay, God just gave me a vision. It might be for someone here, it might be for someone that listens to the tapes online. So if it's not for you, fine. It might be for someone online. I just saw a young boy walking through a field, and he had been hurt. I think he was about 7. He had been hurt by someone, and he was crying. But then his crying became anger, and I saw him throwing rocks in his anger. He aimed at a tree, pretending it was the person. I think he had a knife then, like a pocket knife. And he was thinking about stabbing the tree, but then thoughts of guilt and shame came to his mind, and he started cutting himself instead. This boy is filled with hatred for his enemy and now for himself. And he seals the shame up in his heart and decides no one will ever know. It will stay hidden deep inside of him and never, ever be discovered. But today it is discovered. God has opened the dark secret to shine the light of truth into his hiding. Anger and hate and hiding are not good companions. The boy needs to come into the light of revelation. He needs to forgive the offender and pour out the pain to God alone. Then he's got to repent of accepting the anger and hate and hiding. It must all be laid before God and rejected. Full confession will bring truth and light. And God will flood with mercy to heal and restore the innocence of his childhood. Whoever you are, whatever you are, whatever age you are now, open that door of closet of your closet of hiding and invite God in so he can set you free. He loves you and he's your healer and your deliverer, but you have to open up everything in honesty to him.
No regrets inside. Just to find I'm at your feet. Just let me find I'm at your feet. Say goodbye to my father.
This is all that I require, won't you let me love you?
the gift of walking on water, and maybe, maybe I will raise the dead. But I have one life to live, and all I have to give to you is love. I have one life to live, and all I have to give to you is love. Oh, I have one life to live, all I have to give to you is love. I have one life to live, all I have to give to you is love. So won't you let me love you more? This is all. If I never walk on water, if I never see the miracles, if I never hear your voice so loud, well, just knowing that you love me is enough to keep me here. Just hearing those words is enough to satisfy. I must have you. Oh, won't you let me love you more? This is all that I desire. Won't you let me love you more? This is all that I require. Won't you let me love you more? This is my deepest heart's desire. Won't you let me love you more? Still more and more. One life to live, all I have to give to you is love. I have one life to live, all I have to give to you is love. I have one life to live, all I have to give to you.